Cast of the Champions, episode number 5. I am your host, Mike. Welcome to another show, and just want to get started off saying, it's been a couple weeks since my last episode, and, work, everything, just been real busy, haven't been able to get on here and really, not only just watch the shows, but just do this podcast. So I made sure I made some time today to do it. I actually am on leave now, so I have a whole week and a half off, so I'll be able to at least get this one done. I might do another one next week. I was thinking about going and just doing every 2 weeks, but we'll see how it goes with being on leave next week. There should be no reason why I can't get one off. This is the last episode before the Royal Rumble, which is one of my favorite pay-per-views of the year. So I'm going to talk about the last 2 weeks shows we talked to. And usually I go up to Raw, but I'm going to talk about SmackDown just so I can come right in to the next show. Talk right about the Royal Rumble before going into Raw. So welcome back. You can find me. I got two Twitter accounts, but the Cast of the Champions Twitter account is at Cast of Champion. Couldn't fit it all in there, so I do have that. Also, Facebook.com/Cast of the Champions. Find me on Facebook. Go give me a like there. Haven't been posting a lot of stuff up on there, but I will do it a little bit more often now. I can usually do it with my phone. So that's good. When you get a chance, go over and check out my buddy Paul's excellent podcast called The Nitrocast, and you can find him at Y2Stump, and The Nitrocast, you can find it on Stitcher and iTunes, along with Podomatic, right here on Podomatic. Go give him a listen, and don't listen to what he says. Despite what he says, I do not have irritable bowel syndrome, so that was just the first show I was sick, so he's a fucking liar. So go to hell, Paul. Before I really get into the last couple of shows, I'm not gonna just sit there and analyze every match because I don't want this just too much of everything. Just a couple rumors that are floating around about the Royal Rumble. I will give my Royal Rumble predictions before at the end of this after I go to these shows. But a couple of WrestleMania things that are. Rumors is Hulk Hogan should be on the show in some capacity. I don't think he's going to wrestle. His 60-year-old body is broken down, so he ain't going to be there. But it'd be kind of cool to see him on there. So, he was on the first nine, a couple other ones in there when he came back after WCW closed down. So it'll be kind of cool to see him in there. Another rumor I am really excited about, I don't care how old he is, but the possibility that Sting might actually be at the Royal Rumble if he ends up taking on The Undertaker. That would be awesome. I don't think it's going to happen, it'd be pretty cool if he did come back and just do a couple, even if he didn't have to wrestle, just a couple on-air things. It'd be kind of cool to see Sting, the one guy that Vince McMahon could never, ever get, a hold of. So that's another rumor. The other rumor is that one of the WrestleMania matches that is being talked about, kind of big on right now, is Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus, which... I think it would be an absolute travesty. I think any match for Daniel Bryan that's below, if he's not wrestling for the championship because he wins Royal Rumble, which I still don't think he is, but if he's not at least wrestling HBK, then I'm just gonna say I was right because they refuse to accept the fact that he is the biggest draw right now. And I still don't think he's gonna win the Royal Rumble. I'm kind of going with the fact that he's gonna face HBK. I think that's the best avenue for him. Don't get me wrong, I'd love for him to win the Royal Rumble and go on to face Randy Orton and finally get that giant win at the end. I know Paul thinks that's what's gonna happen. I just don't see it. For one thing, he's hurt right now, so he's only gonna do right now. It seems like he's only gonna do the one match at the Royal Rumble. He's not gonna be in the Rumble match as of right now. There's only 20 guys, on the card right now to actually. Be in the Rumble match, so I hope I'm wrong. That's all I'm gonna say. I hope I'm wrong. So there's that. I'll go over my Royal Rumble predictions and the WrestleMania card predictions I did a couple weeks ago with Paul, which was episode 3, I believe. I'm pretty sure about half of those are I was wrong on. So we'll see. How it goes. I'll kind of throw my little end of my. Anticipated matches at the end of the show here too, just to kind of close out with that. So might as well get into it. Thanks for listening. I do check the stats and you know, if more than one person listens, I'm tickled pink, just to be quite honest. So it's kind of cool that people are sit there listening to me talk about this. It's a different, I'm more of a Mark type guy. I love wrestling. I've been watching, like I said before, I'm watching for many, many years, going on 30 years here pretty soon. So it is, you know, it's something that I have a big passion about. I love the fact that WWE Network's coming out, so I can relive all that old shit. Speaking of that, what's the over under on the odds that WWE owns TNA's video library by the end of the year? I think it's looking pretty good. That brings me one more thing before I start talk about SmackDown from a couple weeks ago. Is I'm not even gonna talk about TNA anymore. There's two things I hate in wrestling right now. It's all of TNA and the Divas division in WWE. Excuse me. My biggest problem with the Divas division is AJ Lee is still losing every match that's not for the title. The only matches she wins, you know, you have six Diva tag team matches, and she's the one getting pinned in the goddamn thing. And that's not how you push your champion. So I can't even watch anymore. You know, the one of the few Divas that could actually wrestle is she is gone now because she wasn't getting used, which I don't blame her for leaving, and she's going to pursue other endeavors. I'm talking about Caitlyn. So, you know, hey, it is what it is. One more thing. I know I keep saying I'm down on one more thing, but last thing I just want to mention before I get in the shows again, I mean it this time, is you know, last week Mae Young passed away. That was one tough old bird right there. That's one thing I said about my grandmother before she passed away. Tough old bird. But Mae Young was a tough old bird, 80-some years old, and she's taking a powerbomb through a table by Bubba Ray. And the thing was, yeah, he was protecting her, but I was watching that again the other day after I found out she died, and he really did not protect her that much in there. She really did hit pretty hard, and she kept coming back for more. You know, we can forget about the whole her giving birth to the hand thing, but... that was one tough old bird. You know, she's going to be missed. You know, I think it was, what, 7 or 8 decades she wrestled at least one match in. That's just insane. That's something that will never, ever be done. Unless Hogan and Flair decide to never die and they want to keep wrestling in their hundreds. So they beat their bodies up enough. Not going to happen. So, with that being said, I'm going to start in on the January 10th episode of Raw, which came in from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You know, the last we left off, it was Daniel Bryan being on Raw with his being part of the Wyatt family, and showed his aggressiveness and everything. And so, you know, the first match was Jimmy and Jey Uso against the Wyatt family members that aren't Daniel Bryan or Bray Wyatt, and it was a long match. I got a lot of time for it, and it ended up with a double count out. Like I said, I'm not going to get too in-depth on these matches because I don't, you know, already have enough time going into this as it is. But they did give him a good enough time. And Jimmy and Jey, I love their gimmick. I like the little dance they do, but I hate they followed up with a rap. I think that's just a slap in their... To my opinion, I am not Samoan at all. I have tattoos, which, by the way, I just got one today, so I'm in a lot of pain for that. But the fact that they throw rap into their whole little Samoan heritage thing, I just think it's ridiculous. If you're going to do it, the little Samoan thing, keep it with Samoan-type music. So, you know, it was just one of those things I didn't really care for. So the end of the double countout, and we go to lights go out, and... we see Daniel Bryan and Bray have attacked the Usos, so it's a beatdown. The crowd's chanting no during this whole time. So, yep, he's solidifying his heel turn. I use quotes with that because I think you pretty much know what happens on the next Raw, which we'll hit in a little bit. They go back to the backstage. Vicky Guerrero is talking to Randy Orton. And Orton asks where Triple H and Stephanie are. Wants to know about... you know, it's good for best for business. Why is he facing John Cena? So he's being a little bitch. Come to find out that the main event was going to be CM Punk's going to team up with the New Age Outlaws to take on the Shield. So, you know, just get used to that because we're going to see that again on Raw. We get a Miz TV with a Big Show. And, you know, he talks about... This is how he can able to stand up to Brock Lesnar. Just a kind of throwaway segment. The whole SmackDown is becoming throwaway. I might even start getting rid of these here pretty soon. Because whatever you see on SmackDown usually happens on Raw. The next Raw. So next up is a six-man tag with Rey Mysterio, Sin Cara, and no, not six-man. It's an eight-man tag. Excuse me. I got this cough. Can't get rid of it. Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara and Los Matadores. They're still on TV. Against the Real Americans, Ryback, Curtis Axel. Another good chunk of match here. And in the end, Rey Mysterio, Sin Cara, and Los Matadores get the win. After this, the commentators talk about the rivalry between John Cena and Randy Orton. They didn't talk about their match, which, you know, up until now, even into the next Raw, they don't get really shit for build-up. Which is okay. Anytime I cannot see John Cena on my TV, I'm a happy man. Next match is a champion versus champion match. Intercontinental champion Big E Langston versus WWE World Heavyweight Champion Randy Orton. This was a pretty decent match just to kind of help. You know who's going to win it. Randy Orton's going to win it, but it makes Langston look strong, and they did a good job of doing that. So there was that. Next match, Fandango with Summer Rae. I love you. Just don't talk. It's taking on Xavier Woods and the Funkadactyls. Quick match. No one cares about. Xavier Woods wins. Then the Funkadactyls after the match get in and beat up Summer Rae. So I don't like that. Next thing, I show highlights from Old School Raw with Jake Snake Roberts and putting the snake on top of Dean Ambrose. Funny part. Still funny about that with Dean Ambrose smiling. Just, you know, his inner geek Old School Raw or wrestling came in there. Just thinking how cool that was. So he comes out, they come out, and he talks about how he hates snakes. They're scaly and, you know, disgusting. And he didn't know it was illegal for someone to own a python in the United States. You know, it's classic heel. As much as he loved it, it's just the heel shield coming out. That's all it really was. They're going to talk about they believe in the shield. They're going to put CM Punk and New Age Outlaws in their place. So, next match is the Shield versus New Age Outlaws and CM Punk. You know, pretty good match again. It finishes out the school off the. It's the match of the night. It ends with Billy Gunn goes for the Famouser on Ambrose, but Reigns hits him with a spear and gets the win. You know, and that's the show. You know, SmackDown's just becoming ridiculous. It's hard to watch it. For a long time, I wasn't even watching it. The only reason I started watching it again was to do this. But, yeah, I don't know. That might change. We'll see. January 13th, 2014 Raw. It starts off the tag team contest they talked about the prior week with the Usos taking on Bray Wyatt and Daniel Bryan. Good back-and-forth match. And short, Usos end up winning by disqualification. You know, afterwards, Daniel Bryan gives himself up, and he gives himself to the Sister Abigail, you know, Bray Wyatt, his Sister Abigail. And then we get a match between Damian Sandow versus John Cena. You know, good match. Not quite the one they had from when Damian Sandow, you know, cashed in Money in the Bank unsuccessfully, but, you know, of course, John Cena gets to win with the attitude adjustment. He's not going to lose there. But, you know, it just seems like these are the Damian Sandow's best matches are when he's going to get beat by John Cena. Next, we go to the back. Kane and Maddox are back there, and Kane says he's going to have him redo the tag team match that started off Raw, and they're going to, it's going to lock the door himself so that no one can get in the cage. Sounds kind of fishy, but, you know, we'll see how this one goes. Next match, Big Show versus Jack Swagger, and he's got the Un-Americans with him. Big Show wins with a, you know, quick match, squash match, and Big Show hits the choke slam. Afterwards, he hits Zeb with a knockout punch. So he beats up an old man. So yeah, make him look strong for Brock Lesnar, just for Brock Lesnar to beat the hell out of him. This kind of show, this did what's supposed to do. Big Show looking like a monster. Gotta have him look like a monster before he gets his ass whooped at Royal Rumble. That's pretty much what the deal is. The next matchup, and this is when Raw really started getting good. CM Punk and the New Age Outlaws versus The Shield. So, you know, it's a pretty back and forth match a little bit. And then, you know, they get the obligatory CM Punk getting stuck in the ring. Well, then he goes to make the hot tag to one of the New Age Outlaws, and just as he's about to make the tag, the New Age the Old Age Outlaws drop off the apron, and Punk is left for by himself, and the New Age Outlaw leaves. Now this makes sense, because before this happens, I'm thinking, you know, aren't they friends with Triple H? And I actually thought that, and that kind of came up there, because that's why they left him. He ends up getting beat. He gets a spear. CM Punk gets speared by Roman Reigns, and the Shield are your winners. And then afterwards, for the hell of it, they hit him with that triple power bomb, which I don't really call it the triple power bomb. It's just a regular fucking power bomb, unless it goes through, you know, it goes through the table. Oh, Divas match next. AJ and Tamina versus the Funkadactyls. Divas match. The only thing here is I was wrong a little bit earlier, but AJ and Tamina actually win this match. So there was that. Then we get Randy Orton coming into the ring, and he's demanding to know where the authority is. He finds Kane in his office and wants some answers. Kane says he can take his frustrations out on Kofi Kingston. So Orton says, of course, it'll be his pleasure. Then we get our first Hall of Fame inductee, and it's the Ultimate Warrior. Yippee. I was never a big Warrior fan. Never was. I was always a Hogan fan. I was a wrestling fan for a long time. And I will admit it, I was when we had a family get-together for WrestleMania 6, and I was a big Hulkamaniac. And when the Ultimate Warrior beat Hulk Hogan, yes, I cried. So, I'm not afraid to admit it, and I've just never been a big fan of Ultimate Warrior, and especially as I got to be in smarter with wrestling, you know, not just marking out stuff, but just about the backstage stuff, and just hearing about how the Ultimate Warrior just held out and held up hijacked the shows and wanted more money, made me hate him even more. Fortunately, I was in actually basic training for the time he came back in WCW, and I went back and watched, don't get me wrong, but the atrocities that happened during that time with the One Warrior Nation, and that's the reason, if you think about it, that's the reason the British Bulldog ended up dying, because he broke his back on the Warrior's little stupid-ass trap door. But that horrible match they had with Hogan at Halloween Havoc in 98, you know, like I said, he's not a fan of the Warrior. He's a scumbag. I like using him in the video game, ain't gonna lie, but can't stand him. Next we get an interview with Renee Young, and she's talking to Paul Heyman about his Big Show's recent actions, and he laughs and said, wow, Big Show's a big guy because he got to beat up on an elderly man. So he's not impressed with the Big Show, but he's more impressed with his client, Brock Lesnar. I love the way he says Brock Lesnar. Next matchup, Randy Orton, Kofi Kingston. Pretty good match. We get the surprise at the end when Kofi hits the SOS for the surprise win. Afterwards, Orton flips out. He starts throwing stuff around and then sees John Cena's father, and for the second time the last 6-7 years, he beats up John Cena's father in the crowd. Cena runs out and chases him off, and you know, Cena gets the EMTs to put his father in the ambulance. So he beats up John Cena's father. They make a big deal out of it like he hasn't done it before. Last time, if I remember right, when he beat up John Cena's dad before, he beat the hell out of him pretty good. Excuse me, take a drink of water. Try not to cough anymore because I don't want to cough on you guys here. There's that. And there's the whole build-up we get in the show for the big match. Hopefully that does not close out Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble match better close out the Royal Rumble. Next up, we get the Rhodes family against Rybacksel. Shit match. Cody hits the disaster kick on Ryback, and Axel hits the crossroads on Axel for the win. So, I'm hoping pretty soon they drop the tag titles. So, I do believe they're going to have the Rhodes match at WrestleMania. So, pretty soon we should see them lose titles, split up, and then have their match they've been talking about for shit ages now at WrestleMania. So, we'll see where that goes. Oh, yeah, next matchup is Rey Mysterio and Alberto Del Rio. And this is a squash match. As much as you don't, you wouldn't think that Rey Mysterio would be in squash matches. Yep, he's getting squashed. His knees are finally okay. He's out there, and he's getting beat by a guy who has no future in WWE. And, of course, afterwards, he gets on the mic and starts talking shit about Batista and how he's going to beat him and blah, 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 blah. So, Of course, then we get a reminder that Batista is going to be on Raw the following week, which I was pretty excited for. Right, getting that in the next show. Go to the back and Kane's taking a phone call when CM Punk comes in and asks where Triple H is. Kane says they aren't there, and Punk says he has to deal with Shield and now the New Age Outlaws. So he wants to know if Triple H has a problem. They can meet it face to face. Kane says that Triple H has nothing to do with it, and he said that the authority is giving Punk the chance to main event in WrestleMania. He put him in the Royal Rumble match. So Punk's okay with that. So obviously, of course, Punk's going to be in the Royal Rumble. It's going to be the Iron Man in the Royal Rumble. Just throwing that out there right now. Next up, we get the steel cage match between the Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt and the Usos. So the match itself was a shitstorm. Just one of the most boring steel cage. It was a tornado tag match. Just a horrible, boring ass match. But the end is what made it. Of course, Daniel Bryan goes to give himself up to Bryan again after he whispers in his ear. But he pushes out of the Sister Abigail, and then he attacks Bray Wyatt to a huge pop from the crowd. As this is going on, the Harper and Rowan are trying to steal or climb into the cage, but Bryan is using Bray's head as a battering ram to keep them from climbing into the cage. So great segment. He takes out the jumpsuit, and he's got his actual original wrestling gear on underneath. After he hits the knee to the face of Bray, he gets on top of the cage, does his yes chant, and the crowd was eating it up, big time pop. So it was huge. So you know what? In a way, I'm gonna say it, like my last podcast, I was wrong. I was wrong in the fact that Daniel Bryan was not gonna be held into the Wyatt family for too long. But I still don't think he's gonna be main event WrestleMania as much as he should be. It is, not a great show, not a bad show, but not a great show. The ending is what got it, because that crowd popped so big for Daniel Bryan. You find out the next day, though, that Daniel Bryan did suffer a concussion during that match. So I think, as of right now, he's not even, like I said, he's not even in the Royal Rumble. I would be surprised if he ends up being in it. But he's got the one match with Bray Wyatt, which they announced on the next Raw, and we'll see. Supposedly he's been cleared. We hear so much shit going on that I just don't know. All right, we're going to SmackDown, January 17th, 2014, from Worcester, Massachusetts. We get a still for Mae Young, so because she died the day before this, one of the 2 days prior to this. We come out, New Age Outlaws come in the ring. They show footage of which was of them turning their backs on CM Punk. They talk about and they come out, they do their little New Age Outlaw shtick, and surprisingly, they're getting okay by the crowd. Then they have a match against the Rhodes families. Pretty good match. New Age Outlaws can still work. They're a little bit out of shape, and Billy Gunn's got to wear T-shirts because he doesn't want to show off his fat gut. But they end up getting the they end up getting the win by pinfall. Lost my track of my notes. Yeah, so they get the win. Afterwards, Vicky Guerrero comes out. Oh, no, let me get this wrong. Trying to catch up here. Vicky comes out, and she interrupts, saying that in 9 days they had the Royal Rumble, and it'll be brother versus brother. Billy Gunn takes this, and he rolls Rhodes up and uses the tights to get the win. Vicky looks satisfied, so I guess she has something against the Rhodes family. So that's how they get the win. So sorry, my notes are all scribbly here. I should start typing them like Paul does, but I think I'd be too confused. I'm still trying to figure out the audacity here to get the cast going. But it is what it is. Renee Young is backstage with CM Punk. She asked Punk to call to address the rumors. He planned on calling out all three members of the Shield. Punk just says that's going to happen, and he walks off. Next, we get Paul Heyman come out. He's makes his way out to the crowd. Did his whole "I am Paul Heyman." He represents the obvious number one contender for the world heavyweight WWE World Heavyweight Championship, Brock Lesnar. Still, love he says that. He says he's got to be out there. He's got to address the smear campaign that the Big Show tosses Klein around the ring. Heyman says that he's a conspiracist, and he's just said that Brock Lesnar is going to fulfill his mantra of eat, sleep, conquer, and repeat. He keeps saying that the Big Show is misleading, saying that he can match up to Brock Lesnar, and that the Royal Rumble Brock Lesnar will conquer him. He says that Big Show can beat around Zeb Coulter all he wants, but Brock Lesnar is a different one. Big Show comes out, and he makes his way to the ring, and he's looking confused. Heyman tells him to stop where he is, and Heyman says that Big Show better not do anything to him. Big Show charges the ring, and Heyman scrambles out of the ring. Big Show asks where Heyman's going. Big Show says he knows Heyman and his client are afraid. He says that they should hide in fear. They then show footage from Old School Raw when Big Show threw him across the ring. Great set, like I said before, great segment, made him look pretty strong for their match. He said at the Royal Rumble he's knocking out Brock Lesnar. So, boom, there you go. We then get a video where it's Eva Marie. She says next week we will see Alberto Del Rio taking on Rey Mysterio. Says in the video that we'll see Alberto taking on Rey Mysterio up next. So, a rematch from Raw. So, it's the reverse of what we usually get. So we get Rey Mysterio and Alberto Del Rio again. This time it's a better match. It's not a squash match. And, it ends up being at the end, Del Rio goes for a running kick to the skull, but Mysterio avoids it, and he rolls him up for the win. So Rey Mysterio might have been a little off earlier, but he gets the win on him. Afterwards, Del Rio quickly takes down Mysterio, and he applies a cross-arm breaker. Mysterio's tapping, but it doesn't matter because the match is over with. Referee tries to break Del Rio off, and he finally does after it, and kind of hurts Rey Mysterio's arm, and then he leaves the ring. And we get the message again that CM Punk will call out the Shield later tonight. We get the Raw rebound, and it shows Daniel Bryan beating up Bray in the steel cage. The one thing about the thing with the steel cage is what makes me wonder is was Kane in cahoots with Daniel Bryan for this? Because he's the one that put the stipulation about locking the cage, and he actually came out and locked the cage. So, was it something that Team Hell No put together? I don't know. Maybe we'll find out. We come back from the after the Raw rebound, and then we get the We're Here. Bray Wyatt comes out. He's sitting in his rocking chair. He calls the crowd sheep. He says that instead of entrusting his members, he was betrayed and deceived by him. Just another Bray Wyatt. He said, Daniel Bryan's getting every chance to walk with Reapers, but now he'll burn with the Saints. He kneels down and while saying, follow the buzzards, with that look on his face, and they zap out of there. Then we get Renee Young backstage with CM Punk once again. He said that earlier tonight, Punk said he's planning to call out the Shield. Now she hears he wants to call out the New Age Outlaws. Punk said he's going to call out all five superstars. Renee asks him if that's going to be career suicide. Punk said it's a gift. He's given the authority the opportunity to try and shut him up. He's just giving them what they want. Someday he's going to get what he wants. Then you get footage from Raw with AJ when she defeated Cameron, and she then attacked. They showed her the from Raw. Next match, Naomi versus Tamina Snuka. Not even going to talk about it. Naomi wins in the end against someone who is a better wrestler than her. We get that. We didn't get a tribute video, the good one for Mae Young. Get a chance to see. If you haven't seen it yet, go check it out. Like I said, incredible, incredible lady. Tough old bird. Up next, the Bella Twins will welcome us back from the commercial break and say that Big E Langston will take on Fandango next. Fandango ends up winning. Another not good match. I like what they're doing with Big E. Hopefully they make something big of him. But, he had a meaningful match with Randy Orton, but he needs to have more meaningful matches. Maybe defend the title a little bit better. I also heard something that they're going to start merging all the titles again. So, maybe we'll get a Big E versus, Dean Ambrose match in the next pay-per-view or something for WrestleMania. You know, who knows? We'll see. They then highlight how Ultimate Warrior will be the first inductee into the Hall of Fame. If you get a video highlight of Batista's career, and they're pushing about how he's going to be on Raw. Renee Young is backstage with a Shield. They talk about how they're in the Royal Rumble, and one of them will main event in WrestleMania, and they're looking forward to beating up CM Punk. They come back, or the commercial come back, and they show footage of Kofi defeating Randy Orton and what he did to John Cena's father. And they talk about how John Cena's father has a fractured orbital socket and has a dislocated jaw, which I really highly doubt. But from the one, the punches that absolutely missed him on Raw. We come back, and Real Americans are on their way to the ring with Zeb, who's in a wheelchair and is wearing a neck brace. They actually let him roll down the ramp. They show footage from Raw when he got knocked out by the Big Show. Yeah, calls Big Show a big bully. He thought fit to attack a defenseless war veteran. Coulter hopes Brock Lesnar treats Big Show the way he treated him. Then he does his whole We the People thing. We the People shtick. Yeah, sorry about the coughing. I can't help it. Get the Rey Mysterio. And then we get... We get the Real Americans versus the Usos. Pretty decent match. It ends with a Superfly Splash. Jimmy hits a Superfly Splash on Swagger, and they get the pinfall for a pretty good match. Usos looking good. I'd like to see them be the ones to actually take the titles from the Rhodes families. It'd be kind of cool. Or, maybe the New Age Outlaws win this Sunday, and then they take it from them. Who knows? We'll see. I don't see the New Age Outlaws being around that long, though. Go to commercial, come back. CM Punk's out there. Gets a huge reception from the crowd. He gets in the ring, they're chanting his name. He's out here because he's not a coward. He doesn't need to hide behind an army, and he wants to call them out. He'd rather just get it over with because he knows that if he calls out the Shield, the Outlaws, the In-Laws, the Ultimate Warrior, the Dingo Warrior, and the Road Warriors, it doesn't matter. No matter what he does, the Authority will do whatever they can to shut him up. When he talks, he tells the truth, and people listen. That is his real power. Krause is eating it up too. He wants to clear the air. When he says the Authority, he means Triple H. So, I'm pushing towards a WrestleMania match. I'm still going with CM Punk versus Triple H at WrestleMania. He says that Triple H uses a position of power to hold people down and to defeat his ego and to satisfy his personal agenda, and he hides behind his wife. The Shield's music hits, and Punk's at Triple H hides behind the Shield as well. They come out the crowd and surround the ring, and the New Age Outlaws music hits. They make their way out to the ring, and before getting on the apron, Punk looks like he's ready for a fight. Then Kane's power explodes, and he gets in the ring. After them talking back and forth, he ends up chokeslamming Punk, and that's how the show ends. So SmackDown was actually a little bit better this week, but the last segment was just seemed like something they could have done earlier in the show, and maybe closed it out. Give guys a chance with the Usos and Un-Americans. They needed to go to making SmackDown the show just to kind of highlight their talent because highlight the up and coming talent, the guys who need to get pushed, and leave Raw for the big ones. Because it's just SmackDown's just a mess of a show. Maybe we'll see. Next was this past Monday's Raw from Dayton, Ohio. January 20th from Dayton, Ohio. It's the go-home show for the pay-per-view, so hopefully it's going to be pretty good. The Authority comes out, and they're ready to introduce Batista. But before Batista can come out, you know, Randy Orton interrupts and talks about how he is feeling like he can't win. Why is he facing John Cena again? And now he's got Batista and Brock Lesnar breathing them down his throat. My freaking notes, I can't read them. So we get, you know, one of the things Orton says is, "Who in the hell do you think you two are?" Stephanie says, "Who are you?" And she recaps Orton's loss to Kofi from the previous week, and then him beating on Mr. Cena. She threatens to strip Orton of the titles and firing him because of him beating on Mr. Cena, I guess you could say. So it was okay to beat the owner of the company a couple years ago, but it's not okay to beat up Mr. Cena. Yeah, doesn't make sense to me either. So, Orton bitches some more. Triple H says they have faith in him, and they try to motivate him. Then out of nowhere, Batista's music hits, and he comes out, and he's wearing skinny jeans. So, Batista's makes me want to wear skinny jeans, because if he can pull it off, I can pull it off, damn it. Yeah, you know what, Batista, for his age, 46 years old, he looked pretty good. He's in shape, not as big as he was, lost some of his muscle mass, but he looked pretty good. You know, he comes out and he kisses the ring, and then he hugs both members of the Authority. So, you know, he's back. He's back for the title, and he says he's back to headline WrestleMania. So Randy Orton needs to deal with it. So, yep, he's back. Pretty cool, you know, quick thing for him. Came back out there. So he was there. So my wife was happy. My wife is in love with Batista. You know, that's cool. I love Summer Rae. And I love Velvet. So, you know, it is what it is. Pretty cool. Next we get The Shield versus The Rhodes and Big E Langston. You know, back and forth match. The Shield gets the win when Reigns hits the Superman punch, and then Rollins rolls him up for the pin. So then we get a recap of Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt from last week and the huge crowd reaction. Bryan comes out and he has the yes chance going, says he planned the entire Wyatt family thing, so he doesn't follow anybody, and he became the buzzard and he chewed on the carcass of Bray Wyatt. Bray says Bray comes out and says, "Hug your mom, because everything that happens to him is his fault." So good back and forth. Both the men look pretty good in it, and they also announced a match for Royal Rumble on Sunday. So yeah, that worked out pretty all right. And Daniel Bryan is not in the Wyatt family anymore. I feel like what really was the point of him even joining the Wyatt family? I really don't know. It was just kind of a waste of time. It was just his way of getting a hold of him one time in the cage. So, you know, we'll see how it goes for Royal Rumble on Sunday. Next matchup is Xavier Woods versus Fandango. R-Truth doing some commentary. Woods is in control throughout. Hits Fandango with a missile drop kick, and he comes back afterwards. Rose misses a body splash. Hitting the ropes hard, and then he gets a top rope leg drop from Fandango. Quick match, you know, just some filler. Backstage, we get Stephanie McMahon, and she reprimands Kane for chokeslamming CM Punk on SmackDown and demands he apologize to Punk himself. Kane comes out to the ring and asks Punk to come down to the ring so he can apologize. After making Kane pee himself, you know, a couple times, Punk attacks Kane, and he forces Brad Maddox to schedule a match between Punk and one of the New Age Outlaws. So the next match, we get CM Punk versus Billy Gunn of the New Age Outlaws. And, you know, Billy starts off wrestling with his shirt, and then his shirt gets ripped off, and next thing you see his fat gut hanging out there. So, they did their whole, the New Age Outlaws did their whole rock, paper, scissors thing. And even though Billy Gunn won, or Road Dogg won, Billy Gunn still gets the match. During the match, Road Dogg's on commentary. Billy Gunn's showboating. He gets showboating. Punk gets the best of him. He gets kicked in the head, And after attempting a famisher, it allows Punk to get the upper hand, but also he goes out and he attacks Road Dogg at ringside. Punk returns to the ring and nails a go to sleep on Gunn for the victory. After the match, Kane announced that Punk would be in the Royal Rumble, but that he was going to start the contest from the number one entry. So there goes your there's your Iron Man for the, you know, every Royal Rumble match has an Iron Man for it, and it's going to be Punk. Of course, originally I would have said it would have been Daniel Bryan going coast to coast on this one, but you know, with his concussion and everything, it just makes more sense for CM Punk to be in there. Everyone wants CM Punk in there anyway. Next matchup is Alberto Del Rio versus Rey Mysterio for the third time in 8 days. Batista, quick match. He ends up getting the cross arm breaker. After slamming Mysterio's arm into the ring steel steps, he gets the cross arm breaker for the win. After the match, Batista comes out and he hits a modified form of the Batista bomb on Del Rio, you know, just to send the message that he's back. He couldn't do the whole actual thing because his skinny jeans prevented him doing so. If he would have done the entire Batista bomb where he lands on his ass, he would have split those things right up the middle, and then his dong probably would have been hanging out, which would have been okay with my wife. But, you know, it just, he knew that after that opening segment with Batista, he was going to come out during Del Rio after the way Del Rio has been talking shit to him for the past couple weeks. Big Show comes out next, and he calls out Brock Lesnar. Lesnar comes out and confronts the Big Show, attempting to do a couple double A takedowns on him, and the Big Show just tosses him straight up out of the ring. It just, you know, it was a good segment in the fact that it still makes Big Show look like a legit match for Brock Lesnar, even though he's going to get destroyed. But yeah, good segment. You know, quick to the point. You know, just set up their match for Sunday. You know, it should be a pretty good match, I think. But of course, you know, Brock Lesnar's going to look pretty dominant in there. Next matchup is a Divas match, AJ Lee and Tamina versus Funkadactyls. Going to skip to the end, Funkadactyls win. After that, the next match is the Usos versus the Wyatts. The Wyatts blew the Usos around for most of the match. During the match, Bray Wyatt grabs a microphone and he talks about what he's going to do to Daniel Bryan at the Royal Rumble. Daniel Bryan comes flying out to the ring, ambushes Bray Wyatt. This distracts Rowan and Harper long enough for Uso to get the roll up in the win. So just plan out the match for Sunday. All right, next match is Randy Orton versus Kofi Kingston. Now, I forgot to mention during this whole Raw, they had a camera in the back that showed waiting for John Cena's appearance. So Randy Orton and Kofi Kingston have their match. At the 2 hour and 58 minute mark, we see John Cena finally enter to the ring. So, you know, kayfabe, I mean, you know, I come to work 3 hours late. I'm going to get my ass reamed, even though I am the boss. I had to throw that in there, didn't I? Stuff like that just kind of shows how fake wrestling is, and it pisses me off. I mean, why, you know, he talks about how he's always the first one in, the last one out, but then he shows up 3 hours late to, 3 hours late to Raw. And then it was nothing. They beat on each other up through the crowd. Randy Orton gets outside the building and jumps in a waiting car and he speeds off. And then John Cena just comes in the ring and poses for the crowd. And that was it. Didn't get it. That's how they closed the show. The go home Raw just had that moderately fake beatdown with John Cena being a bad employee and showing up late to work. So, You know, besides Batista showing up, and that wasn't even big. Daniel Bryan's two appearances got bigger pops than Batista's appearance, return did. Not a good Raw. Not a good Raw at all. Raw Rumble is one of those pay-per-views that I pay for it every year, unless I was deployed. I didn't get what I was deployed. But, and I already ordered it for tomorrow night, and I'm looking forward to watching it, and after I review SmackDown, I'll go over my prediction. So, not a good SmackDown, not a good Raw to go off. We didn't get the obligatory, every guy in the Royal Rumble, you know, at the end of that. But I have a feeling we're going to get that on SmackDown. SmackDown opens up with the Real Americans versus the Big Show and Rey Mysterio and Big Show and Rey Mysterio get the win after Rey hits a splash off the Big Show's shoulders. Big Show comes out. I mean, Big Show. Paul Heyman comes out and he just cuts a promo on Big Show again, just kind of hyping the matchup for Brock Lesnar. Miz versus Brodus. Miz wins with a DDT. I don't understand what's going on with Brodus. This guy has massive potential to be a huge heel monster guy who could actually challenge for a title, you know, versus a Daniel Bryan with a championship, or, you know, even a CM Punk, you know, or whoever, you know, a face who has the title after Randy Orton is done with it. But for some reason, they keep holding him down. He's losing matches to The Miz, who I'm just about all but giving up on because I think he's pretty much done. Not getting that one. AJ actually gets a win. Another win. She wins with a Shining Lizard over Cameron in the next. And then after the match, you know, beat down, and then Naomi comes off, fights him off. Then we get Rybacks versus Los Matadores. Don't care. Rybacks wins. And CM Punk cuts a promo on the Royal Rumble on how he's going to win it from the number one entry. Kane interrupts and says that says he has no chance, but Punk is pretty confident he's going to win the Royal Rumble. You know, I'm cool with it. So, you know, we'll see. Next up is Rowan and Harper versus Primetime Players. A short match. Harper gets the pinfall after spinning Lariat on Young. Bray gets in the ring, hits Sister Abigail on Young. Daniel Bryan comes out and explains to Bray that he fears nothing and he's looking forward to his match on Sunday to get his hands on him again. So, there's that. Next up is Kofi Kingston versus Fandango. Another forgettable match. It's Trouble in Paradise for the win. That's all you need to know. The main event, Big E, Cody Rhodes, and Goldust versus the Usos. And the Usos versus the Shield and New Age Outlaws. The match ends in a DQ. And then this is when we get the roster clearing out towards the ring where they're all brawling, hype the Royal Rumble. And it finishes off with Punk coming out and brawling with a Shield. Kind of, I just ran through that really quick because I, you know, I didn't really watch it. Just kind of going over the results I found. And, you know, it is what it is. It served the purpose just to set up the Royal Rumble. So, you know, those are five shows over the last, you know, 15 days, give or take. I don't know. Just not great shows. I'm still more excited about the WWE Network coming up. Anticipating getting that. Knowing that this is probably the last pay-per-view I'm going to pay for is the Royal Rumble. Next match, Elimination Chamber, I'll probably bootleg it. And then after that, you know, I might have my $10, my $60, $120 I'll pay to pay for the whole year if I have to for the WWE Network and get all the pay-per-views. Really looking forward to that. All right, now my last little bit I'm going to do here is talk about the Royal Rumble, my predictions for the actual Royal Rumble. The kickoff show is the Rhodes family versus New Age Outlaws. Rhodes family ain't going to lose here. They're probably going to lose at Elimination Chamber, probably against the Usos, someone like that, but they're not going to lose here. They'll get the win. New Age Outlaws, they're just kind of doing a temporary thing, you know, they're going off, just playing off of the whole the old school Raw bit. And, you know, that's it. They're not going to win. Big Show versus Brock Lesnar. I think I've already stated the obvious on that one. Brock Lesnar's going to beat the hell out of the Big Show. Well, he's probably going to get some. He's going to get some shots in, but you know, Brock Lesnar's going to win. Look dominant in the process. Daniel Bryan gets the win. If it's a short match, Daniel Bryan will be in the Royal Rumble. If it's not, he's not going to be in the Royal Rumble. Hoping the Royal Rumble closes out the match, you know, because everyone's so bored with seeing Randy Orton versus John Cena that I hope it doesn't close out the show. I still got Randy Orton winning the title, even though something I'd like to see maybe if John Cena does win, I will go with Daniel Bryan to win the Royal Rumble, but I think Randy Orton's going to win. The actual Royal Rumble match. Batista's gonna win it. There's only been 20 people announced. He's one of them. But it's just gonna be they already foreshadowed the Batista versus Randy Orton match at WrestleMania. So I could see that one happening. So I'm going with Batista. CM Punk will be in there. He'll be one of the final four, maybe even final two. Face off final against Batista. I'm up in the air on even if Daniel Bryan will be in the match. And because right now he's not even announced. There's 20 superstars announced. He's not one of them, you know, which is okay. You know, they usually only keep, you know, 20 to 25 people actually announced for the actual Royal Rumble, and then you get your surprises. You know, like you got Diesel a couple years ago, and Booker T came back and everything. My guess is for some of the surprises this time, probably going to get Jake Snake sighting. Jake Snake will probably be in there. I would not even be surprised if maybe even Hulk Hogan was in it and was in there quick and then took some really weak over-the-top rope elimination by Punk or someone like that. So, you know, and I also think that Sheamus is going to make his return at the Royal Rumble, so you know, he'll be a surprise. You know, probably, I wouldn't even be surprised if he was number 30. When he comes back, I'm pretty sure he's going to come back, but if and when he comes back, I hope he comes back as a heel, because I cannot stand babyface Sheamus. So, you know, come back, be a bad guy, beat up the good guys. That'd be pretty cool. I'll be all right with that. So, you know, just a quick little recap. You know, my right now, I know I completely changed my Royal Rumble predictions. I not Royal Rumble, but WrestleMania predictions. I now think it will be Batista and Randy Orton at WrestleMania. I know I said earlier I originally predicted CM Punk and Triple H. I didn't. Paul did that. I'm now going with that one. Paul's going with Daniel Bryan winning the Royal Rumble and going on to face Randy Orton at WrestleMania. I don't think it's going to happen. Trust me, more than anything, I would like to see either him or CM Punk, you know, win the Royal Rumble. But it's going to be Batista. So Batista and Randy Orton, still going with Brock Lesnar and Undertaker. Or Undertaker, maybe John Cena, Undertaker and Sting, I think would be great. Just, you know, two old guys going at it, sure, you know. It would still be awesome. They would do what it would take. They're the professionals. You know, Sting's not looking that great in the ring anymore, but, you know, he'll bring his hay game if he has to face Undertaker. I listened to an interview a couple days ago where he said the one guy in WWE he would really like to face off would be Taker. It's the only one that would make sense. See him go in the Hall of Fame the night before and then face the Taker would be cool. I don't like the thought that the Ultimate Warrior is the main event Hall of Fame guy. It sickens me to think. I mean, I hope to God it's not. Ultimate Warrior surprise entrance Royal Rumble, that could happen too. So, you know, I don't know. The good thing about this year, it's not predictable. I mean, like I said, I'm throwing out all these things. I'm not even sure exactly what I think right now. You know, last year you knew The Rock was going to beat CM Punk. You knew John Cena was going to win the Royal Rumble. You knew they were going to face it at the Royal Rumble again. You know, it was so predictable last year that I'm really enjoying the fact that it's not this year. You know, we're sitting here thinking at the 11th hour, you know, by this time tomorrow night we'll have a Royal Rumble winner. I like the fact that it's not all set. Yeah, you know, it's not 100%. No one knows. You know, I don't know. It should be a pretty good pay-per-view. It should be better than Raw, the way the Raws have been. I already paid my $55 to watch it. Like I said, it's going to be the last $55 I shell over for a pay-per-view. But we'll see. I look forward to doing it. And I'm going to be on leave all next week. I get my whole week off. I'm going down to North Carolina. I'm looking for a house because I'm moving down there. So that should be fun. Good times there. Ready to move, get out of New York. You know, born and raised here. It's time for me to go. So, gonna go down there and find a house to live for when I move down there in April. When I come back, I will I'll do a podcast specifically for the Royal Rumble and for the Raw that came on Monday night, and then I might go to two shows. I might go to every 2 weeks, just because of the way work is and everything. So, but yeah, that's about it. Like I said, check me out on Cast of Champion at Cast of Champion on Twitter. Go out facebook.com/castofthechampions. Hope everybody enjoys the Royal Rumble. Like I said, one of my favorite pay-per-views, if not my favorite pay-per-view. It should be a pretty good show. I keep saying that it's going to be a good show. Go check out the Nitro Cast at Y2 Stump. He has it on there. I kind of tweet it out there every now and then. I hope the sound sounds better this time. I was fucking with my with my microphone here a little bit before it started, and I hope this comes off pretty well. So for now, you know, take it easy, have fun, and we'll see you on the flip side. Peace.